is our readiness to react good or bad, from Kishore Chandiramani. A good example of our readiness to react can be seen in marital disharmony. One has just opened their mouth and started to speak, and the spouse knows full well what's coming, and their response is blurted out even before completion of the first sentence. The response doesn't require much thinking, as they are ready-made and ready to be fired. The spouse knows what the other person is going to say in response to their response, and knows what they have to say in response to what will be said by the first person in a moment. Such is the intimacy and understanding of each other's minds. The extent of animosity and bad-mouthing is understood to reflect the depth of relationship and the freedom and the ease one feels in sharing their negative emotions. They wouldn't be comfortable doing such things with someone with whom they have a superficial relationship. Occasionally, one realizes that their spouse wanted to say something totally different. In fact, it was meant to be a compliment which the spouse mistook as an attack. These automatic responses are preset in our minds and can be triggered in a fraction of a second without needing much thought. They have been used hundreds of times, perhaps thousands of times, and may well have formed grooves of their own in our brains. We have innumerable such responses frozen in our minds, and the list can be endless. Some examples are as follows. I knew he will let me down. She doesn't care about me. I'm wasting my time with this person. He's only after my money and doesn't want to work. He's only trying to be nice to me. Tigers don't change their spots. Now that he has got the money, he's going to mess me about and won't complete the job. It was my mistake to trust him. I have to be careful with this person. These kids have no value for money. My spouse has never taken any responsibility in the house. You can't trust these Republicans with your national policies. These far-right parties will break up and destroy our nation. Many of these statements may well be true, but allowing these thoughts to slip into our conversation before we have thought things through can be dangerous. All the above statements show a preparedness to react in a paranoid or a negative way. But the opposite of it can also be true. When we see everyone as good, understanding, kind, compassionate, and wanting to help us. I once read a book entitled, If You Meet the Buddha on the Road, Kill Him, by Sheldon B. Kopp, wherein he has discussed the neuropoid position as opposed to the paranoid. By the way, neuropoid is not a scientifically accepted concept. He said neuropoid people see imagined goodness in every human being and everywhere, and they also suffer as many knocks in life as the paranoid people, as they are not worldly wise. It seems that neuropoid people have a different kind of readiness to react in a trusting way, and that can also be faulty. It seems that the external situations trigger something in us, and what gets stirred up depends upon what is inside the pot of our mind. Carl Gustav Jung, a famous psychiatrist and a therapist, once said, everything that irritates us about others can lead us to an understanding of ourselves. We can free ourselves of all that readiness to react if we empty our mental pots so there is no chance of things getting stirred up. An angry person must empty the pot of anger. A fearful person must empty it of fear. And a depressed person must get rid of the stored up sadness inside. The above discussion will make us believe that readiness to act of any kind is not good, but that can also be challenged. One must build armies and defenses not during the war, but during peacetime. We therefore need a different kind of readiness that can be helpful to us in an automatic fashion and protect us from making mistakes. Here comes the role of self-fulfilling prophecies. If you start off with the premise that this person is not going to cooperate and will create obstacles, it will get reflected in the tone of your voice, in your choice of words, in your eye contact, in your facial expressions, and your body posture. And the other person is going to mirror your emotions and thinking. An old Indian story reminds us that this world is just a hall of mirrors. You see hundreds of your own reflections in it. You smile and all the mirror images smile at you. And you shout and all the images shout back at you. So we need a different kind of readiness. This readiness has four components: friendliness, compassion, sympathetic joy, and equanimity. To spell it out further, it will go like this. I know this person has been nasty a lot of the times to a lot of people, but he can be nice to me during this interaction if I approach him in a proper way. The majority of people are insecure within. They want to do a decent job, want to be fair, don't like discord, want you to be nice to them, want to be appreciated for whatever effort they have put in, need encouragement to keep going. If he was my brother, how will I react? He doesn't like my way of doing. Without taking any major risks, I'll let him have his way and see if we get a reasonably good outcome. Not just mine, but the other person's happiness is also my goal during our interaction. Our conversation should be enjoyable for both, just as I want to enjoy it. He comes across as a rude and domineering person, but inside he may be insecure and struggling. I don't know what the long-term impact will be of what is happening to me right now, and it's not good losing my equanimity. Have I listened to this person's perspective enough? In trying to change one's readiness to react, one may pass through the following four stages. Stage one is action, where one can overcome a particular reaction in favor of an action in a given situation. The individual has mastered only one situation. Stage 2 is habit, where one has changed one's habit in favor of non-reaction, that is, stopping the knee-jerk reactions. Stage 3, that is character, where the new behavior has become part of the individual's character, a code of conduct. It can still be altered in adverse circumstances and due to faulty learning. Stage 4 is nature. The new behavior has become an essential or integral part of who we are, and it can't be altered despite whatever experiences we go through in life. In spiritual terms, it can be described as shrotapan, which literally means entering the stream, and there is no coming back, no matter what happens. For example, Jesus couldn't do anything bad to others, no matter what people did to him. This recording is brought to you from the Emotions Clinic Education and Training Center in Stoke-on-Trent, England.